Ladies and gentlemen of the Strangers by Nature podcast, this is your beginner's call.
Begin us to the stage, please. Miss Clark, Miss Rajagunguk, stand by.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
We are finally back with our first episode and the second one after the pilot, right? And we have some fun news. Maybe it's not that fun.
I think it's fun.
We got some merch now. Not that you can't buy it. It's just for us. But you'll be seeing this in future episodes.
It's very cute. Let's not forget the stickers as well.
Yes, the stickers. And we have another white hoodie, but didn't bring it today.
You'll see it in a future episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. And we're in a new venue, right? Do you want to let them know where we are now?
Yeah, so we are now in our university. They've got a new, very cool recording studio room. This is where we'll be based for the rest of our episodes now.
Mm-hmm. And so today's episode is hopefully going to be informative, but also fun at the same time. We will be busting some myths to do with theatre studies in the UK. Obviously, we're coming at it as students from the University of Warwick, but we'll also try to make more general points for all of you, no matter where you are.
Alrighty, yes. Should we get right into it?
We will get
into really kooky energy today.
Okay, we're feeling very interesting today.
Okay.
Okay, to start us off, are there any academic requirements for the course? / what are the entry requirements?
So, for us, it was ABV. And I feel like we've had a look at a few other courses as well, and they all seem to be around that ABV, AAB region.
I did IB, so for me it was around 30 to 34. I think when I applied, Warwick was 34. That's what I remember.
It's 32 now.
But I can't confirm that at the moment.
That seems to be the standard. And then in addition to that, Warwick also does contextual offers and like widening participation offers, which are usually a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm. So it also obviously depends on whether you're still in high school, and if you are, then they'll probably give you a conditional offer, and if you aren't, then they might give you an unconditional offer on the basis of those results. Okay, cool. Next.
Number two is, did we have to audition to get accepted, and do you need a portfolio?
The answer is no. What's happening today? Okay. We didn't have to audition, and for all the other universities I applied to, so five different ones because of UCAS, I didn't have to audition or prepare a portfolio for any of them. I don't know about you or where you applied, but...
No, because I did English and theatre as well, so mine's a bit different. So do you want to maybe go through, like, theatre? And then I'll go through my
Theatre was what I just said. You don't need audition.
Yeah, but the workshop, maybe?
Oh, the workshop. So I did it online, so we didn't really have a workshop.
Oh my gosh, I forgot
It was
about
kind
that.
Of just... It was a whole day. We met lots of student ambassadors, and we got interviewed, and, like, a campus tour of sorts, I think.
Yeah, online, like the online virtual one. Tour.
I don't remember doing a workshop, but then again, it was in the middle of the night for me, being in Indonesia, so I don't know if I recalled things
That's
properly.
So true. Sorry, I actually blanked that you had to do that online. So, the workshop is essentially a day of drama games with, like, an interview on the side, but it's mainly just, like, different tasks to just see how you work with other people, what ideas you bring, how open you are to different creative processes. So it's by no means sort of like a, ooh, they're a great actor, they're not. It's genuinely just to see, like, how you, like, cooperate with the rest of your cohort. And again, interviews. So I had an interview because I'm English and theatre. And then even then, they're literally just interested in what
you're... Did you
have
to do two? Or just one?
No, just one. Oh, yeah. Okay. They're honestly just interested in what you're passionate about. So if I was to give a top tip, it would just be to have a passion. Because that's what they want to hear. They want to know why you love the subject
that
you're
studying. No, I'm just kidding.
Well.
Yeah, just know your, what's it called, your application very well. Because for me, lots of the questions were based on my application. And so don't make stuff up there, you know. Read through it again before the interview. Yeah. Shall we move on? Okay. Can I come visit the school before I apply? as student ambassadors, we can confirm that you can visit the school before you apply. Yeah. So there are lots of open days,
applicant days.
Yeah. And workshop it's usually days, public space. Like, you might not be able to enter the rehearsal rooms, for example, but entering the Faculty of Arts building, anyone can do that. So just come along. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Warwick, but I'm sure all other universities are like public spaces. Yeah.
So yeah, I recommend seeing them if you can, because the atmosphere is really what sold it for me for Warwick anyway.
The food stalls.
Yeah, the food stalls. Like, honestly, every Wednesday Warwick has a food stall, and it just happened to be on the day of my interview, I think it was, or my open day, one of the two. And
yeah, this was in the pilot, just sold me. Right? Yeah, you're still excited about it, and you're a third year now.
The food stalls, what can I say?
Okay, next.
Yeah.
How big are the classes?
Again, this does depend.
Yeah.
So I'd say in first year, especially when you have like your compulsory modules that everyone has to do, those ones are bigger. Would you say like 20, around 20-ish?
Yeah. But I mean, like, for example, for us, the whole cohort is under 50 people. So I would say it's pretty small. I've heard from some other people that other universities, like, what's that one university?
Exeter, maybe?
Yeah, has a bigger cohort. Obviously, I can't confirm since I don't go there. But it varies. I would say, though, that I assume most of your courses try to be smaller just because they want that sort of ensemble sense. Even though it's not an acting course, you still want to get to know everyone as you're still working together a lot.
No, definitely. And like on English and theatre as well, which I'm on, there's only 25 of us, maybe 24.
Oh.
So it's very small.
Even better.
But even then, it still does depend. So some modules which are more niche, for example, the politics module, like politics performance module I did last year, there was only about 10 of us on that.
I'm excited I'm doing that.
Are you doing it? It's so good. I loved it. So it really just depends how niche the subject is, how many people tend to go for it. But overall, at least here, quite small, good sizes.
Is that starting the spring term?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I got sidetracked. I just need to know that for myself. Okay.
Next question is everything white and Eurocentric? And I don't know how to enter this question. I say course-wise, no. At least Warwick especially, they make a big effort to make sure what you're studying is, like, as diverse as possible, I would say. Like, we're encouraged to enter things from different areas and different topics, I'd say. Would you agree, disagree?
I partially agree, partially disagree. Yeah. So, I do think there is a wide range of courses, but I think lots of the examples are very much Eurocentric or British. As an international student, I found myself going, what are you talking about? Right. Several times. And I don't think it's because I'm ignorant or not well-versed in, like, world issues, but some of these things are just very specific, and I just didn't get it. I mean, it's understandable. Like, you're going to a university in the UK. I'm not, like, holding that against them necessarily, but you have to be prepared to make that maybe extra effort to understand some of the references or some of the people and political figures that they are talking about sometimes. Yeah.
No, now you say that does make sense. I feel like it's almost a big difference. I say one thing is that on our degree, race isn't like a scary thing. Like, it's encouraged in pretty much every module it comes up. And we're encouraged to talk about it and, like, the implications of it.
To criticize, you know, whether something is doing a good job at being diverse or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a tricky one because I feel like it is an institution, as are all universities. Yeah. And I think all institutions have such a long way to go when it comes to diversifying and making sure courses aren't so Eurocentric.
Yeah.
But I do feel like our course is definitely heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen, obviously, the modules available at other universities, and I think people are beginning to include a wider range of modules that also touch on other cultures and subjects, but at the same time, there is still a larger presence of Eurocentric and British material, I guess.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But obviously, it's a process, like Amelia was saying.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that for me as a theater student, most of my course mates are white, are Caucasian. That's not to say that they're all British.
I'd say demographically, the course, people on the course are majority white. But yeah. Also, I feel like that was, at least for me, an expectation coming into this. I feel like we could go on all day about systems and, like, systematic stuff, but I feel like it all does just feed into that. Yeah, I think the course is doing a lot. Like, we have this podcast, like, and loads of other opportunities. There's a long way to go, but I guess I feel like it does start from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then the university kind of works with what they have. But the theatre department here are very open to suggestions, very progressive, very willing to take on feedback.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess I was a bit shocked just because of, like, not that I expected there to be so much diversity, but it was sort of like a shocking amount of white people. To me, at least.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure I should have been shocked, but I guess you always have that expectation to find more people like you.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I feel like, I hadn't considered that because obviously I live in the UK. I know that theatre, dance is notoriously white. Like, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. So I guess from you coming from not the UK, it would have been like this is different.
For sure.
But yeah.
Okay. So, next one. How expensive is it to study theatre?
So, we have two very different answers. So, I'm a UK student, so it's the standard £9,250 per year for the course.
Is that for all universities? Or?
I think for the most part, some are cheaper, I think, but usually that is the standard price you pay per year for uni.
Yeah. For me, I believe it's $28,400, I think. So obviously you went up from last year. Last year I think it was $2,760. Very happy times.
I literally want to cry.
Yeah, I want to cry for my parents. So I think, based on looking at some other universities, Warwick is one of the more expensive ones for international students, but it's generally the above 20K.
Right.
Well, all of them I've seen are above 20K. From like mid to higher 20K region. it's hard.
Would you say most international students that do decide to study in the UK, do you think it's like very exclusive, like who can, who can't, like what's like available?
Yeah. Lots of my, well, I'm going to talk about my Indonesian friends because I talk to them more often. Lots of them have gotten scholarships, which is nice. But also, so I'd say you kind of get two groups.
Right.
You get the people who, like, pay for it. You get people who apply for scholarships and get scholarships and come here. And I don't think people treat you differently, like, regardless of how you get into university, whether you pay for it fully or not. But it's certainly something, like, in the back of people's minds. Like, it changes. For example, some of my friends who are here on a scholarship, they have to wait for the money to come in to, be able to travel or do this or that. But at the same time, when you're at the university itself, I think you have pretty much the same experience. So do whatever you need to do, is what I say. If you need to apply for a scholarship, if you want to apply for a scholarship, you should go for it.
And I guess aside from course expenses, life too is a bit expensive.
I'm going to cry about life.
We have the energy crisis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar friend or enemy at the moment. I'd say this year compared to last year and my first year is a lot more expensive, just living wise. Bills are higher, rent's gone up a bit, just like food has gone up, like everything is just going up. Even the bus pass went up, which was very sad. It's expensive, it's doable. If you have to get a job, then I do recommend working just like a part-time job alongside uni, there is time for it, I discovered, because in my first year and second year I was a bit skeptical, like, is there time to work and do uni? But like this year I've started working and it is doable, so there are ways to manage it.
Bread, honestly.
I mean, I'm trying to survive life.
Every time I text you, oh, I'm at work.
But yeah.
But good for you.
So yeah, it's doable. So if you do have to work, it's not a bad thing. And so many students do work as well alongside university. Yeah. And I know our student uni, at least, mm-hmm. there's loads of jobs. And like, hopefully at other universities as well, that's an option.
I do have a question. Yeah. So you live in a house?
Yeah, I live in a house.
Do you pay for the energy bills monthly, or is it already sort of like prepaid and included?
So yeah, there's two options usually. Uh-huh. Some estate agents, that's the word, will like mm-hmm. offer packages. They usually are quite expensive, but like they sugarcoat it with the fixed price, like it won't change.
Yeah.
We just decided not to do it because everything is fluctuating so much. We're like, if there's a cheap month, we'd rather have a cheap month.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we pay monthly for all our bills and they're all separate, which just works for us. But yeah, different things work for different people depending on how much you want to have to organize it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I live in a sort of apartment-y student accommodation thing. I find it nice that all the bills are sort of included, so it's not affected by whatever's happening now. So I guess I only feel the effect when I'm, you know, buying food or going traveling, things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Righty. Well,
we tried to cover that in depth, so hopefully it helped.
Right, question 7 is, so, do you study acting?
Oh my goodness, I get our favorite question.
And the answer is
no.
Yes and no.
Okay.
As in, no. Our primary reason why we're here isn't to... Well, some people do want to become actors, but it's not every module is an acting module where you're taught how to act, where you're taught accents and then this and this. It is a lot of theory and practical based. But the practical side of it involves more than just acting. You'll be creating a director's pitch, or you're, I don't know, I've just lost all ideas. Like, you're creating a portfolio.
Yeah.
So it's not all focused on how can I become the best actor. However, we do offer acting modules here in second and third year where that does focus on acting. But even then, that's only like your 2 to 3 hour seminar a week. So it's not all day acting.
Yeah. So I would say we don't study acting, but you can choose to do an acting module where I guess you learn techniques to act.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you don't study to become an actor, but you learn the techniques and you learn, you practice acting.
Yeah.
I'd sort of say that more.
Yeah. So especially in third year, loads of people do go on to do masters and like acting, so like the third year module is kind of like to prep you for auditions, so you like learn monologues, you're given feedback, it's kind of like to help you along that audition process if you do want to go into acting.
Yeah. Nice.
I think that's it. Yeah.
So do you want to be an actor after you graduate?
No. And people are always so confused. They're like, oh, acting. I'm like, so you act? And I'm like, no. I'm terrible at acting. No, is the short answer. I do not want to be an actor. Much more of a behind the scenes gal.
You're or a dancer gal. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what I want to do is the reality.
That's a later problem. But,
yeah, not acting. What about you?
I don't think I want to be an actor. That doesn't mean I won't act after I graduate. But yeah, I'm definitely more interested in consulting or directing after
graduating. Actually a good way of thinking about it. Because I'm always like, I don't want to be a dancer. Otherwise, I would have danced. But like, if someone wants me to dance for them,
I'll dance. I mean, if I need to act in a play or something, I'm very interested. Sure. Why not? But I'm not going to force myself to become a professional actor. Yeah. Because that's just not the life for me. At least not at the moment. Who knows? Maybe when I'm 70, I go, oh, I want to be an actor.
Sure, actor.
Why not?
Okay. I feel like this leads nicely into the next question, which is, what is the difference between a degree in theatre studies versus going to drama school?
I'm going to let you take this one because I love your answers to this at all our open days.
I feel like... So I have a lot of friends at drama school. dance school, and they essentially do 9 to 5 every day. So it's very intense. It's full time. Like, you're in every single day. Whilst, that's the first difference, I'd say, whilst we're in maybe 2 to 3 hours a day, might have a seminar and a lecture, and we might have nothing.
I mean, of course, some days are longer, but
So in terms of contact hours, they're a lot less in theatre studies. And then I think that leads on to the next thing, which is on a theatre studies degree, you're encouraged to do a lot of independent work and independent research because of the lack of contact hours. That's what you're meant to be filling the rest of your time with. And I guess the third key difference I've noticed from my friends is that at drama school, you're essentially told how to, like, mould yourself into, to be able to be into other people's work, to be able to go for any audition or go for any show, whilst, at least on our degree, we have a much wider understanding of the industry, how all the different roles fit into it. We get to experiment with all those different roles as well. Like, I want to produce, cool, go for it. I want to try directing, go for it. Whilst, yeah, a lot of my friends at drama school are leaving with the hopes of, like, working for someone or hoping they'll get this role, as opposed to loads of us who are like, let's start our own company or... I think that's a key difference. Makes sense.
And I also think learning theatre studies is a very interdisciplinary thing, which you might not get at a drama school. And, I mean, for me, I don't know if this is correct because obviously I didn't go to drama school, but I sort of have this feeling that maybe if I were to have studied acting at a drama school, I would feel like, what is wrong with me or my life if I didn't end up becoming a professional actor? Whereas taking theater studies, I don't think I would necessarily punish myself if I were to go into something, even if it's not in the arts, because I feel so... I feel so well equipped with everything.
It's true, though.
But yeah, I do sort of feel able to do a wide range of things.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what I said about not knowing what I want to do. It's not because there aren't jobs or roles I can think of. It's almost because there are so many different things that I know
exist. Too many opportunities.
And that, and that are, like, interesting to me, that I almost am struggling to, like, confine down what the one thing is.
Right.
Not that there has to be a one thing, but yeah, I think that's always my issue right now. I'm like, there's like 10 different roles I would know I would love. Like, what do I do now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is to... Nope, my brain died. The next question, let's just go into that. Okay. How many performances do we do a year? Now, I think there are multiple ways to answer this. You can... Because there is you as a student, which includes obviously the course, but also societies, and then there is just the course itself. If we're thinking of the course itself, I'd say we don't do too many. I would say most of the performances are if we were to have a group practical examination, for example. So last year, maybe there were 2 for me being a first year, and then this year we might have 2. So I'd say like 2 to 3 maybe a year. However, lots of theater students are very involved in societies and they perform a lot.
In a lot of shows. Yeah. I say there's maybe like 8 to 10 sometimes shows a term, like I'll see big and small. So from the theater all the way into like our studios on campus. There's always something going on. And then there's other societies outside of theatre that do shows. So, like, Panto, Dance Opera. Society, Opera. Even loads of the culture societies, like Afrofest or, like, ASOC do shows. Like, there's so many different performances happening
and
everywhere.
And I'm sure all universities have a bunch of societies, and drama societies are very popular, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm sure regardless of where you go, if you add shows from societies onto your course performances, you'll end up doing a good amount, if that's what you want to do. But if you don't want to do a lot, then you'll have, you know, maybe those 2 or 3, or maybe none at all.
No, for sure. And I feel like first year is the year to just go for it and do those shows. Like, one of the freshers I know, they're doing a show this term, they're already in a show next term, they're also doing dance shows.
Unless
like,
you're me. I only did one show last year.
So yeah, there's time. The most time is definitely first year if you do want to go for it. Next question is, do you get to see shows for free go to shows for free? The answer to this is yes, but like there's not loads. In occasionally the department do get tickets that are like relevant to the course. So like 2 weeks ago or so, my practical dissertation group got to go and watch Gecko at the Art Centre, which
amazing.
Was so good.
Stunning.
Gave me so much inspiration for my dissertation, honestly. They do happen, but overall it's not like every week we're going to the theatre by any means.
Yeah, so I think you get it as part of your course sometimes, but at the same time, let's say third years are watching a show and there are extra tickets. Sometimes they give that to second years and first years. So I've definitely been to a few shows that weren't intended for me, but I got a free ticket, so I went. That leads us to the next question. Do you just study Shakespeare? Do you?
I feel like we have very different answers to this.
I'll let you take it first.
I have to. Emphasis on have. Because I do English and theatre, mm-hmm. so my core module this year is Shakespeare. But I can happily say that was the only time I've had to study Shakespeare in my whole 3 years. I think there was like one option to study like a Shakespeare sonnet mm-hmm. in like first year, but in terms of like Shakespeare and like the whole only old white man that wrote in the very far past text, it's not like that. Like we study loads of modern plays, like some mm-hmm. that were written like 5 years ago. Like we study loads of new plays as well, so it's not all old English and Shakespearean mm-hmm. literature.
Yeah, I mean, for me, talking about the theater side, that's what I was going to say. We definitely have talked about Shakespeare, but it's to understand why he's part of the canon and why perhaps we should also become more open-minded to contemporary writers. It's not in the way of Shakespeare wrote all the best plays and we should learn nothing but Shakespeare. Yeah. It's definitely not like that. We did talk about Hamlet at one point, and we have Shakespeare scholars in our department, but it is by no means like forced upon you. You might, and it's also not part of, I don't think you're ever graded on Shakespeare unless you take the Shakespeare module.
Yeah.
Because when we learned about Hamlet, I don't think that was in the subject that was graded. It was for like a first year toolkit module. So I am hoping that other universities are also like that they cover Shakespeare, because I mean Shakespeare, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, is an important writer. But that they don't force that upon you or say that, you know, it's Shakespeare and nothing else, and that you can't sort of criticize Shakespeare, because what I like about our course is that we get to criticize like Shakespeare's work, not Shakespeare as a person.
I'd say another thing to note is that even if you do end up having to Shakespeare, hopefully you'll find having to study Shakespeare, hopefully you'll find what I found, which is that the way you study at A level is quite lethargic and boring, and it's quite shallow in terms of like the way you understand the text. And to a large extent, even though I'm not in love with Shakespeare's work, and that's not like my primary go-to if I was going to study a play, you do learn about the plays in a depth that you haven't even thought about before.
Yeah.
And it does open a lot of insight into the work as well.
Love that. So this leads us to the next question, which I think lots of people might be curious about. So what topics do we actually learn? If not acting, if not Shakespeare, then what is it?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. So first year, usually, I think at most universities where you study theater, you get some core modules. And in those core modules, it's basically to make sure that everyone who's coming from different backgrounds, you guys are sort of all on an equal playing field by the time you start second year. So for us, it was, we did theater and performance in context, which is the history of theater and, you know, the issues of gender, of working class, of socioeconomic status, things like that. Sorry, my brain's really lagging.
It's basically all those, like, categories. Like, yes. So, like, race, gender, sexuality, all of that.
Exactly. And then we had contemporary performance practices, which was looking at...
I really can't help you out here.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting there. So we were looking at, for things like invisible theater, participatory theater, more contemporary ways of making theater. And then we also had performance analysis, which is now called Ways of Seeing, I believe. And that was where we looked at theater reviews, but also considering what can actually be accepted or viewed as performance. And so that was definitely one of the harder classes, but I ended up enjoying it, I guess. And then we had the toolkit module, the thing where we did Hamlet, but also learned a bunch of skills to just university. To university. Yeah. yeah, to university. I think that was it in first year.
And then in addition to that, there's so many different optional modules you can do. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge range. So we kind of have practical modules, theory modules, and then industry modules. So as we said, there are some acting modules where you learn, like, the skills to act. I think they did, like, mask work, stand-up comedy, monologues, all of that good stuff. Then there's more theory modules, so there's politics and performance. I've gone blank. There's, like, European theatre, where you learn about how, like, European nations represent themselves on the stage.
Theatre in the African context. Yeah. I don't know if you said that or not.
And then there's, like, more industry-based modules, so you can do a placement, which I got to mm-hmm. do last year, which was great. So you just get to pick your area of choice and then carry out a placement in whatever you want to do with that company, which was great for me. And then you can also do theatre and creative industries here, which you learn about all the different roles within the world of theatre, which is kind of why I'm now struggling to decide what I want to do, because every week I was like, I could do that.
You were too inspired.
But yeah, there's a massive range here, and I'm sure other unis are the same, where you cover loads of different mm-hmm. aspects of theatre. I think that's what's great, because my friends on history are like, oh, I study that. Or, like, my friends in politics, like, I do that. And, like, the only real difference is the, like, lens you're looking at it through. Like, we're all looking at the same things, mm-hmm. just through different lenses, which I really love about theatre.
I did miss from text to performance, but that's besides the point. It's fine. Basically, the point is that there is a whole range of things you can focus on, of modules you can choose. And you can... at our university, at least, you can take some modules from other departments as well. So that's something you should definitely look into, regardless of what university you're applying to. Oh, goodness. We're definitely fine today.
Cool. So leading on is, what kinds of assessments do we do? And this is another thing I love about Warwick. I know we're talking about theatre in general, but I love... that Warwick, at least in theatre, doesn't believe in essays, or like timed essays. In general.
I do essays
and exams. So yeah, I've never had to do anything timed or exam based in my whole 3 years, which personally I love, because I'm not an essay writer in the sense of, that's not really how I best communicate my ideas. Mm-hmm. So that under time, that without time pressure, I find hard enough. So adding time pressure, I know I wouldn't be able to convey my ideas the way I do.
PTSD of high school.
Yeah. So I love that there are such a big range of assessment methods, because it means that hopefully everyone gets to be assessed in a way that they can best communicate their ideas and arguments. Go on.
When you're in university, they are usually very transparent when it comes to the assessments you have to do in all the modules. So when you are choosing modules, then you can choose them based on the assessment yeah. type that best suits you as well.
I definitely do that. So like this year, one of my modules, I have like a short essay, then a video essay, and then a graphic essay. So like I'm literally going to be on Canva living my best life. And that's just because like that works better for me. Mm-hmm. I'd rather like creatively express myself, or even like creative projects. Like I got to do a dance and explain why my dance, or like how it links to the character.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are ways.
There are ways around it. And all the other universities, the ones I went to an open day or applicant day, I definitely asked whether they had timed exams and timed essays, and all of them said no, which is great. So I think it might be a trend in universities that have theater and performance studies, but you should double check.
Yeah. I feel like loads of institutions are just questioning as well, like, what the point of essays are.
Yeah, because you're never going to have to do that when you're working.
So I think it's an interesting thing. I think that is why they're sort of moving away from it, because it's almost like, what is the relevance of this essay? How are you going
to
use it?
I mean, especially timed.
Yeah.
Like, I think you still need to write, like, some reports or whatever.
I keep saying essays. I do mean timed essays.
Yeah.
Every time I've just
I just
essay,
wanted to clarify for Amelia.
Just add time to the front of it. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sure people do write essays, but maybe not timed.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've
discussed
that thoroughly enough. So the last myth we are going to bust is this assumption that theater students are just going to be broke, that there are no job prospects. What do you say to that?
To that I say, no, I feel like...
You say yes, that is correct.
Again, I'm about to get deep and existential. I feel like it's no secret that the arts in, like, life aren't respected to the degree of other BSc subjects, let us say that. So
with
I guess
no
that,
maternist at all.
I guess that's where the myth comes from.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you're gonna do an arts degree, but what jobs? Like, arts isn't supported. But like there are so many jobs out there, and I feel like it's not really a concern I have. Like, the jobs exist, and it also depends where you're doing, where you're working, what capacity you're working at.
Yeah.
So in terms of jobs, like, there's so many different things. There's producing, there's box office if you want it, there's directing, there's PR, there's marketing, there's tech, there's duty managing, like,
yeah,
I could go
there's
on.
There's curating.
Yeah, curating, there's community outreach, there's learning and engagement.
Yeah. There are so many
like,
options.
So many, like, there's
you
probably
just
more.
You have to be open to it.
100%. So the answer is no, you're not going to be broke, but I feel like where that also comes from is like freelancing culture and like the mess that come along with that. A lot of creative people do choose to freelance because, kind of like what I said, I don't know what I want. I might get into a situation where I'm like, actually I want to do three things. So a lot of people do freelance and they do jobs as they come. So I guess with that there's a lack of financial security because you're waiting for your next job or your next piece of funding. But I feel like that's a choice and people are aware of that when they enter into that lifestyle. But yeah, it's not all freelancing in the arts. You can get like your 9-to-5 job if you want it. It's a big range.
I agree with all that. All I have to add is with a degree in theater studies, you don't even have to work in the arts. So there are always going to be people who need our creativity, our ability to collaborate and work in groups, our ability to plan things. I bet you can go into event organizing and you'll be brilliant. Some people I've heard have even become lawyers because we are good communicators and we can be teachers, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, in the arts.
Yep.
And I think that if you view it like that, you open up a whole other world.
No, for sure.
That's always encouraging, although it can be overwhelming sometimes when you realize you have so many options.
Yeah, and even, for instance, like, job roles exist within every capacity. So say you're like, I want to do marketing. Yeah, you could market for a theatre, but you can also market for a bank or this TV company or... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the jobs exist in every company somewhere. they might sort of be structurally a bit different, but like they do exist, so you're not limited.
Yeah, I think the point of uni is honestly to get transferable skills.
Yeah.
Because you might forget the date someone wrote the certain play. It's not important, but you will always remember how to manage your time, how to, again, work collaboratively, and so many other skills.
100%.
I feel like such a teacher right now. I'm just promoting.
You're gonna learn so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
So those are all the myths and FAQs we've selected to answer today. If you have any other great ones or any other burning questions that you want us to address, please write it in the comment section. And before we end, we are just going to have a little fun time discussing some myths that are, in fact, true. We'll give you a little treat, just a little.
Yeah. So, number one, theatre kids are dramatic. There is a lot of drama that comes with drama.
Have you seen this podcast?
But I feel like it just comes down to the fact that uni becomes a bubble. Everyone's putting on so many shows. Everyone wants their show to succeed and be the best. And with that comes stress and panic and drama and all of this good stuff. But I think everyone means well, but no, we are dramatic.
Yeah. I mean, that's to be expected, right? That's all I can say about it. The other one, it will be majority white. I think we already addressed
this. Yeah, we kind of addressed that. But especially, at least in the UK, institutionally, that just is a thing right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully it changes in the future, but yeah. I think that is sort of an expectation you can have going into a degree in theatre.
But just to sort of build on it a bit, I think if you were to, let's say, go to a performing arts school in Jakarta, Indonesia, most of them will be Indonesian anyway, so it's not just a UK thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, it's expensive. I think we've established that especially for international students, it is expensive, but so are other subjects. Just so you know, though, theater is one of the most expensive subjects here. I think it's the second band for our university, at least, or the most expensive. I can't remember.
Crazy.
Yeah. Next, you get what you put in.
Yeah, I feel like that says what it says. Like, university, you're given the freedom to pick what you want to study. You can choose if you're going to miss that lecture or if you're going to do the extra reading, if you're going to spend that hour on your essay, if you're going to do two because you have the time. Like, it really is in your hands. So yeah, put in the work just so you can have a worthy outcome after spending all the money.
Indeed. But it's also about other things. It's not just the academic in the academic sense. You also need to put in effort into socializing, into going out and seeing work if you want to have a full university experience, I think.
Yeah.
And when I say full university experience, that differs from person to person, and that's totally fine. What I want from university is, I'm sure, completely different from you, and that's cool as long as you put in what you want to get. Yeah.
Cool.
So I think that's a good place to end.
Our myths that are true.
I am so sorry, guys, for this chaotic episode. I hope you bear with us. Blanked
so many times.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We had a bit of a situation setting this up, so hopefully everything is good. Please stay tuned for the next episode.
It's going to be a good
Spam
one.
Spam the comments, like our video, and follow us on Instagram.
Thanks for going backstage with us. This is Amelia.
And this is Talia. You are listening to the Strangers by Nature podcast.
See you in the next episode.